A nation vehemently divided, while many believe we are all headed for one world governance. Uncertain political and economic times beg the question, should Christians be preppers? And what is a prepper? Today's guest will explain all of that right now. Welcome, everybody, to the Skywatch Television Studios. I'm Joe Horn, and I'm joined in the studio today by the Skywatch investigative team, and boy, oh boy, do we have a stacked program for you today. But before we dive into that, let me introduce this week's special guest. He's a Christian media icon, graduate of Florida State University and the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, best-selling author, Pastor Carl Gallup.
Thank you.
As always, Carl, it's so good to have you in studio. We have had a raucous time over the last few weeks talking about your new book, The Summoning. And we've covered everything from the days of Noah, the days of Lot, COVID-19, prophecy unfolding everywhere.
Vaccines.
But let's go into one of my favorite chapters, preppers. Because a lot of people may not know this about you, Carl, but you have an extensive multi-decade career in law enforcement. And you've worked with ministries and organizations in terms of security and being ready for emergency and how to respond during crisis and all of this. And we value your opinion a great deal because of all of that experience. And I'm wondering, for the people watching this program who have never even heard the word prepper and are still trying to pronounce it, or don't know what it applies to the church because they're thinking about verses like turn the other cheek, have faith. Isn't God going to provide all of my needs tomorrow? Why then would I need to prepare or put anything aside?
Jesus said, don't worry about what you'll eat or drink or wear.
So what
do we do with that?
What is a prepper? And what about faith?
Okay, good. Well, first of all, let me just define prepper. It is the man or woman of God who's paying attention. I can wrap it up. There's a proverb that says, the wise man sees danger coming and makes the necessary adjustments or preparations. The fool sees that same danger, does nothing, and pays the price for
it.
Okay, so a prepper, what's a prepper? Oh, I don't know. Was Noah maybe a prepper?
Sure.
He built a ship the size of an aircraft carrier and loaded it with supplies.
Right.
And you move through the scriptures and you wind up with Joseph and Pharaoh and 7 years of storing up because they saw the danger coming and they stored up, which caused the nations around them to come to them to get help. Which, of course, brings the children of Israel into Egypt and that whole thing. But so you have that. You just keep moving through the scriptures and you find over and over and over where God speaks to his servants, his people, and warns them that, look, tough times are coming. You need to be prepared for this. Okay? And then all the way through, you get into the New Testament, the early New Testament church. They were preppers.
Sure.
I mean, the whole first office of deacon was invented and ordained by the Lord and then the church to take care of the widows who were suffering.
Right.
Because in that world, if your husband died and you had no son, most women, you couldn't just go out and get a job anywhere.
Right.
And so they had it hard. And if they did anything, maybe they did some sewing for people or stuff like that, but it was hard to get a living, get a food on your table.
Right.
Yeah.
So they were taking care of the widows. But then you keep reading and you discover that the more wealthy people were selling property and bringing, you know, supplies. Even the people that weren't that wealthy were taking what they could do. They were bringing it to the church. They were prepping. They were taking care of each other. Yeah. The Bible speaks of times of famine in the New Testament church. The churches took up offerings from other churches that could help the other ones that needed it. Mm-hmm. So prepping, that's all it means, is just knowing what's going on in the world around you, making the preparations for it. I liken it to this. I ask people who sometimes get kind of squeamish about prepping. I said, well, let me just ask you, do you eat at your house? We eat. I said, how do you prepare for that? Well, we go to the grocery store.
Sure.
Okay, so when you go to the grocery store, do you just buy enough food for that day and then you go back the next day?
Exactly,
and get more? No, you buy for weeks, sometimes months.
Sure.
I mean, it's just a part of life.
Yeah.
You know? So I say, in these prophetic times in which we're living, the most prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus Christ, we should be preppers.
Sure.
And there's nothing ugly about that word.
Right.
You know? But anyway, I also tell Christians, look, if it still makes you squeamish, at least think of it like this. Wherever you live, you are always subject. Listen, I live in Hurricane Alley.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You guys are in Tornado Alley.
Exactly. Yes.
And Ice Storm Alley. Mm-hmm. And some people live in Snowstorm Alley. Some people live near volcanoes. Some people live in earthquake zones.
Right.
Some people live in flood zones. Some people live in fire zones, massive wildfires.
We've seen a lot of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you and I've got good friends that have lost homes and lives and everything in these things. So I say at very least, consider where you live. Consider your surroundings. Listen, the people in Ferguson, Missouri got up one morning, dropped their kids off of school, went to work, did their thing, and before the day was over, their city and their life was upheaved for months.
Right.
Yep.
And for a few days or weeks, you couldn't get into grocery stores, you couldn't get into gas. Everybody was closed down and boarded up, and riots and people getting shot at. And in Ferguson, Missouri.
Yeah.
Right.
So the people that had prepared had a little food at the house, had a little water at the house, had their medical supplies for weeks or months out. They were okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I just tell people, at least have enough food and supplies to shelter in place, at least for a few weeks. But I tell people for months.
It's kind of the minimum, in my view, would be some basic beans and rice and try to have enough to go 3 months.
Yeah, and the basic medications.
Yeah, first aid kit, basic things like maybe water purifiers.
Yes.
Back in, I want to say, don't quote me on this, it was 2008, 2009-ish. My memory fleeting here on this, but basically, I worked at Survivor Mall, and some of our oldest viewers may, the ones that have been with us for a long, long time, they may actually remember we ran SurvivorMall.com. It's since been dissolved because God has moved us on to other ministry endeavors. But at the time, I remember when the nuclear plant in Japan, Fukushima, blew up and had that problem. And then there was one report, and I believe it was kind of a quasi-obscure podcast. It wasn't even mainstream Fox News, nothing, of radiation reaching the coast of California. That one rumor slash report, you know, I'm not quantifying its validity. I'm just saying there was one report of radiation making it to the coast of California. And guys, we saw this, you remember this, the most stressful time in the preparedness industry ever.
Mm-hmm.
We saw in 6 hours, everything we had on the shelves gone. And this included things like NIOSH masks. It was all the stuff you'd actually be thinking you might need, you know, 2020 for COVID, et cetera, but it was hand sanitizer, it was Tyvek suits, it was everything. But in particular, potassium iodine and any kind of water purification, guys, long-term storage food, it was gone for 8 months.
Right. Before,
and we, by the way, we were not a tiny little broadcasting out of a garage. We're talking about pallets and pallets of stuff. We were one of the favored vendors that always had these people working hard to get us inventory, couldn't even find it.
Right.
And they were saying, basically, until further notice, don't even ask.
Right.
So we went on. We had to, at a time where we probably could have thrived, we couldn't actually get our hands on anything. We ended up refunding, and it was a big mess. But the point is, what we learned, and we've been saying this now for a decade since, is if you wake up to the national headline that warrants your response to then rush out and get something, it's probably too late.
Yes.
And I don't say that to be apocalyptic. It's just if you wait until everybody else wakes up the same day thinking the same thing, you're in a line of people that... And last year, it was barely March, I started making phone calls. Some of my good friends that are in the audience today remember this. I started making phone calls to my friends, and I said, hey, this COVID thing, I said, I don't know yet if the virus itself presents the gravest danger, but there's a lot about it we don't know. And all it's going to require is people being afraid of the unknown to rush out and buy up everything at the grocery stores. Now, the one part of my analysis that I didn't see coming was the toilet paper shortages.
Nobody saw that one
coming. You can't eat the toilet paper. I don't know, but people were hoarding toilet paper and leaving rice and beans on the shelf. But anyway, not to hijack the program, but we have experience as a family watching this play out. If you wait until you need it, you may have waited too long. Yeah.
I'm remembering when Ebola happened and we ran through the same kind of shortage with the Tyvek suits and the latex gloves and all of that when the Ebola outbreak happened.
Yeah. I tell people all the time, listen, the Bible, even the New Testament says, a person that doesn't provide for their own family is worse than an infidel, worse than an unbeliever. Mm-hmm. Well, providing for your family, immediately we think of, well, I got a job, I make money, I pay the bills, I put clothes on their back, and I'll protect them. I'll give my life for them. And all that's very reputable. But But it means even more than that. It means thinking ahead. Mm-hmm. It means planning. It means preparing for danger. I mean, we buy life insurance policies.
Right.
We buy homeowners insurance policies. We put burglar alarms in our houses. We buy fire extinguishers. I mean, what are you doing? You're preparing. For what? Your house isn't on fire.
Right.
There's not a burglar breaking down your door. Yeah, but it could happen.
Right.
It's very likely to happen in our lifetime. Oh, so you're prepping.
Yes.
Yeah. And wouldn't you say, Carl, that, you know, a lot of people, when, you know, they're reluctant to become a prepper or whatever, in addition to some of these other questions, maybe we can talk about, does it express a lack of faith, those kind of things.
Yeah.
But it's because they see it as being too expensive. They're thinking, I can't afford to do this. I can't. What am I going to do? Dig up my whole backyard, build a bomb shelter below ground, you know, get train loads of food. But really, people could just start in small ways. When you go grocery shop,
right,
buy a couple extra cans of whatever it is, right?
Exactly.
Get proteins
rice
and stuff. Set up some like a spare bedroom or part of your garage. Put in some racks, and little by little, over time, you can actually build that up and budget it, and not see it as such a devastating expense.
Yeah,
there's a guy in New York right now that he lives in an apartment, right, mm-hmm. and he shares a backyard area. They started lateral growing, so they're growing vegetables like up in the air, right? And it's a tiny little space. I mean, it's no bigger than this whole platform up here, tiny for this backyard. And the two of them are sharing it. They have not been to a grocery store in 6 months because every vegetable. And he went back to his old Italian grandfather's recipes and stuff like that. So they're learning how to take all these vegetables. They're making everything themselves. So it can happen.
Yes.
You can do it. It doesn't have to break the bank to get started, at least.
And most people don't know that. Well, a lot of people know that, like, dried goods last a long time if you keep them kind of temperature control. A lot of people don't know that canned goods, most canned goods, some fall out of this category. I wouldn't want to eat sardines in a can that are 20 years old.
Right.
Okay. But most canned goods can last for 12 to 20 years.
Right.
On the shelf if in a temperature-controlled environment.
Right. Right.
And a lot of people don't think about that. So you just pick up some canned goods, you know, beans and whatever you like, and just store it. And but you can also cycle through them.
Mm-hmm.
And just after a couple of years, you bring them out, use them, and then bring some more in.
In fact, one of the smartest setups I saw was a garage where you've seen these can racks where you pull a can out of the front, it rolls down. And every time they go shopping, when they buy their groceries, they put them on the back side of those can racks, and they're always taking their food off the front. So even if it might last 25 years, they're always making sure they're rotating that. One of the other great ideas that I saw was this woman went, she had a spare bedroom because the kid moved out, went to college, right? So they had a bedroom. What are we going to do with the bedroom? She went to Walmart, and she bought, you know, these plastic tubs that you buy with the lids that go on top, right? Mm-hmm. The people store stuff in them. She bought, I don't know, 8 or 10 of those.
I own more of those than Walmart.
And she bought, I wondered what happened at Walmart. Yeah,
that's it.
So
prepared now.
She bought
prepared.
She bought those. And then, Joe, what is the light called that puts sunlight? It's actual
UV.
Yeah. And put them inside that room. And she took this is a great idea. Listen to this. She took these plastic tubs. Mm-hmm. She took the lids off. She turned them upside down and drilled holes in the bottom of them, put the lids on the floor, put this on top of that, right? So now it's got this little tiny area. Mm-hmm. She waters it on the bottom and it sucks it up. She put potting soil and stuff inside there, and she raises, for like 15 households, she raises all of the tomatoes and the vegetables and all the other things inside this spare bedroom with those UV lights on the top using Walmart tubs, right? It's like the coolest thing I ever saw. So it doesn't have to break the bank.
Just people think, think.
And a lot of this information is resources, is all free online. People can find out about
it's all over the internet. Some of it's in my book.
So, like, if you're the one who has prepared all of this and you have provided for your home, what happens then whenever other people don't have and they come to you?
Thank you. Listen, that's something that I say in my book, is that one of the things about prepping is to take care of your family, take care of your needs, see what's happening. But I encourage people, believers especially, provide for others around you just in case.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because it gives you a wonderful, and I can give a working example of my own life in a second, but it gives you the opportunity to move about in freedom because you know your needs are taken care of. Now you can go minister to people who maybe didn't or didn't think of it or weren't even thinking of it. Even next door neighbors in your neighborhood, whether they're believers or not, it's an opportunity to witness, to minister.
Absolutely.
To, and if they are brothers and sisters, even more so to take care of them, like the early church took care of each other first, and then, of course, they went into the world around them. But I can remember in our area, we lived through Hurricane Ivan. The eye of it hit us, 160-mile-an-hour sustained winds for 24 hours. It was horrific, and it just devastated the area. Took years to recover. That was in 2004. Just the other day, my wife and I were in the backyard looking up the top of some of our trees. There's still stuff up there that hasn't fallen from Ivan since 2004. That's the kind of damage it did. But we had been preppers for a long time. And I can remember that morning when we opened up, it was like Dorothy landing in the land of the Munchkins. I mean, it was like, we're not in Kansas anymore. Mm-hmm. Everything looked different. The whole terrain. People couldn't move. I mean, you know, power lines down, big trees all over the roads. It was horrific. Law enforcement was stand still. Their cars were crushed. Officers were caught in their own homes, couldn't even get out. It was a mess. Mm-hmm. And so, but we were prepared. The first thing I did, I went outside and I looked around. The roof was good. We didn't see any leaks inside. We knew the house was intact. We knew where all of our equipment was, all of our food, all of our water, all of our purification. Because some things like that can destroy your water supply.
Yeah.
Right.
And we knew we couldn't get to the drugstore, but we were okay. We had all that stored. I had plenty of guns and ammo. You know.
We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, we will. So we had everything. So immediately that same day, I got out and started going door to door and helping people and got my chainsaw and cut myself out of the driveway, started driving. I loaded up my truck with supplies, water, food, tools, and started going to people's house just because I could.
Right.
So I tell, it's not that I'm Superman or Mr. Nice Guy. It's just I could.
Right.
It gave me the freedom because I had prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing evil about preparing. It can be a very righteous thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, it's a very biblical thing.
Yeah, you mentioned Egypt. I mean, this is how so many nations round about were saved, right? As a result of those preparedness thoughts. And you mentioned guns and stuff. I want to ask the question about that. And I do think you are Superman.
Thank you.
Yeah. But I would, one final thing, though, before we switch gears here, and that is that communities can also organize.
Yes.
Whole communities can work together. I have chickens, therefore I have eggs. Somebody over here creates vegetables. So
somebody over here reloads ammunition.
Yeah, somebody over here. Yeah. But this does bring up this other question.
For a segue.
It's a segue.
We're going to have to save it to the other side of the break, though.
Okay.
Guys.
Okay. So, Carl, when we come back from the break, I want to ask you about weapons, ammunition, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So the word prepare is in the subtitle, preparing for the coming days of Noah. We're talking about all of this stuff, all in the book, The Summoning, along with all the biblical prophecy. It's all loaded in there, and we want to make sure that you know how to get a copy of the book right now. Watch this.
Call now and get Carl Gallup's brand new eye-opening book, The Summoning, along with a never-before-released two-part Summoning Companion DVD. This is an exclusive offer for our Skywatch television audience. Yours for a donation of $35 plus shipping and handling. In Carl Gallup's book, The Summoning, you will be thrust headlong into the original days of Noah and experience the moment the antediluvian world was ripped apart at the seams. Walk the Jordan River Valley with Jesus and his disciples as they made their way up to Jerusalem one last time. Be made privy to the true meanings behind the otherwise hard sayings that Jesus proclaimed all along his way to Calvary. How to navigate sensitive topics like self-defense, survival, and prepping while readying your home and family for the days ahead. Learn the shocking truth of what Jesus really meant when he warned that the very last days would be just like the days of Noah. You'll also receive the Summoning Companion DVD. Join Pastor Carl Gallups for this incredible exclusive two-part sermon. From living without fear in the midst of a global pandemic to the question surrounding what Jesus is telling people through the prophecy of the fig tree and the return of Israel, this companion DVD is a must-have.
It is the defining factor of the age we're now living in. the most prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus Christ.
But that's not all. We are also including the timeless Skywatch TV Classics Volume 1 and 2. This two-disc collection is valued at $150 all by itself and includes the best of the most popular audio series in the history of our ministry. Now you can re-experience entire audio series like Something Transhuman This Way Comes, The Coming Replacement Humans, As It Was in the Days of Noah, Conspiracy Theory, Special Edition, The Coming Zombie Apocalypse, and Psychotronic Warfare, all on two digitally remastered volumes. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of $195. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling while supplies last. Prepare for the coming days of Noah and realize the chronology of the future as it's finally unveiled in The Summoning Special Offer. Available now at SkywatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Skywatch TV. We're in-house today with Carl Gallups. And again, we're down to just a few minutes, so we got to talk at a breakneck pace. Before we went to the break, though, Tom had mentioned one of my favorite subjects in the preparedness, you know, buffet of varying things to talk about, and that is self-defense, guns, ammo,
yeah.
Tom.
So I was interviewing Stan Deo one time, and Stan was telling me about all the prep stuff that he had done and the food and all that. And I said, so Stan, let me ask you a question.
I remember this.
What if the grid goes down and all of a sudden a bunch of armed people come to your place and they're going to take your food and stuff away from you? And he looked at me and he said, let's just say that would be a really bad idea, right? He didn't need to say no more, right? But, you know, how much is too much?
Right. These Christians have a lot of legitimate questions on turning the other cheek. And right. Like if you, you know, before the break had used your book as an example of being prepared so that you would be in a position to give somebody that was hurting something in a time and use it as an opportunity to spread the gospel and show them love, whether they're saved or
and
not.
And I've done that, yeah.
You know, but the idea of, you know, putting a Gatling gun in your front door and just, you know, anybody, you know what I'm saying. So let's be reasonable for a minute
right.
And talk about Christians. Should they or should they not carry a firearm?
Well, we certainly have a God-given responsibility, and we have a right, a human right, to protect ourselves against dangerous assault.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the thing.
Sure.
I mean, but this all depends upon circumstances and where you are and what's really happening. So, I mean, I'm just going to give the general answer because people do ask, but Christians.
It's hard not to itemize.
It is.
A blanket statement.
Yeah, but should Christians even arm themselves at all? Should they even, I mean, you know, what about just having faith and God will take care of you? And what about the martyrs? And, you know, all of this kind of goes together. So here's my blanket answer. First of all, there are biblical examples in the Old Testament and New Testament where God's people armed themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, they armed and had a standing military, which included mm-hmm. every able-bodied man, and I'm sure the women knew how to handle swords and spears if they needed to. But then you get into the days of Nehemiah. They were doing God's work. They were rebuilding the walls, and yet they were required mm-hmm. to have a sword on their side, a spear, a shovel in one hand, and a spear in the other, mm-hmm. and he said to them, be prepared to fight for your families and for your lives. Mm-hmm. Why? Because terrorists were threatening them. Sanballat and all of his guys were terrorists. He said, we're going to kill you. You're doing God's work. We will kill you. We will tear this down. You'll never succeed. And Nehemiah said, everybody arm up. Go get your Glocks. Go get your AR-15s and a shovel, and let's get to work. But we need some guards up there on those walls at all times, and I want you to rotate shifts because we got to get God's work done. They were doing God's work. So mm-hmm. at the church I pastor, for example, we have a whole security mm-hmm. outfit, as you guys do. I mean, and it's very complex and involves a lot of things. I'm not going to go into it here. But it's a godly thing.
Mm-hmm.
When our people come to church, you don't feel like you're in a police state because we handle it really well. But your babies are protected. Your family's protected. Elderly people are protected.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a godly thing. So, yeah, it's okay. But now I tell people, if for whatever reason you just don't like guns, you're afraid of guns, I mean, I'm not saying everybody should go out and just get a gun and, you know. Some people can't can't handle it physically. Right. They're just too hard on their hands.
And for some, they're probably better off without one.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If they're afraid of it or if they wouldn't know how to manage it safely or whatever.
Right. But you can get training, and there's ways that even a very elderly person that maybe has severe arthritis with, you know, and you say, well, I can't handle a Glock or a, right. you know, but there are ways, and you can get some training in it. And,
right.
again,
and you have,
we're running
you have
out of
decades
time.
Of experience
decades
in
of
law
experience
enforcement, security, various yes. weapons, things like that.
And at my church.
And again, I want to make everybody that's watching this program aware of the fact that so much of this information, talking about what you might prep with, how much
yes.
you might need, the pragmatic steps to being ready for, you know, natural disasters, how much food you might want to put away, how to do it, how to afford it, that is in the book,
yes.
The Summoning, along with all the other Bible yes. prophecies.
It's in an addendum section. So,
right.
But it's really, really good. And I think it'll help a lot of people. Plus, not only the physical preparation, but I deal with the spiritual preparation all the way through. But at the end, I've got pages and pages of Scripture that are actually printed there.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture about encouragement and strength and don't fear and, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I'll fear no evil. I mean, all of that's mm-hmm. there so that you can just pick up the book, read
yeah.
it, and turn to the back and read Scripture while you're doing it. And
with a couple of minutes left.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like a lot of people don't think that they can actually prep because they are so overwhelmed with dealing with what's going on today. To get to a point where they can think ahead to tomorrow is more than they can kind of deal with in any given day, especially with the world the way it is right now. For people who can't afford the fancy prepper packs that are sold online, I mean, you've talked some about different ways that a person can handle this, but what would you say to people that are kind of stuck in that conundrum?
Yeah, well, again, some of those fancy prepper packs are very reasonable, and if people would kind of think ahead, plan ahead, save ahead, they can get them. And a lot of those packs take you through weeks and sometimes months.
Exactly.
So
mm-hmm.
that can be done. And also, as we've said, you just every time you go to the grocery store, pick up stuff that will last. Pick up some extra toothpaste. Pick up an extra thing of Tylenol. Pick up some cans of food. And you can do that relatively inexpensively. And in several months, you've got a closet full of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do that. You know, unscented chlorine, for example, can be used as water purifier. There's, you know, so many drops per gallon, and boom, you got it. You can store that for the longest.
To be mistaken with store-bought chlorine that you would ration yourself.
Exactly,
exactly.
So I'm just saying there are ways that one can do this.
Right.
But you have to think, you have to, and you mentioned about, yeah, but in the times we're living, people aren't thinking ahead, but you need to think ahead.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells you must.
Right.
Let me jump in here real quick, Carl. We're going to run out of time. Where can people find out more about you? Like, do you have a blog post? Do you
yep.
have a radio show? How can they learn?
The quickest way is just remember my name, if you could do that. I'm not so vain to think you would, but if you could, carlgallops.com. And from there, you can find all my books, all about my church, videos, preaching, teaching, articles, carlgallops.com. Phone number, email, it's all right there.
We've been talking with Pastor Carl Gallops over the last few weeks, folks, about his book, The Summoning. Carl, thank you so much for being on these shows.
Thank you. It has
been my
honor.
We had such a great time. For everybody in the studio, how about a round of applause for Mr. Gallops?
Thanks. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
It's always such a pleasure.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, we are all out of time, so we're going to have to say goodbye till next week. I'm Joe Horn, but on behalf of everybody on panel today, thank you so much for being here. To the people in the live audience, until next time, keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. We'll be back.
Thank you for watching. Keep up with all of SkyWatch TV's programs by subscribing to our channel at YouTube and following us on Facebook and Twitter.